Beautiful singing this morning. Please take your Bibles out and we will turn once again to the book of Acts as we continue with Peter's message at Pentecost. He dealt with Joel, what Joel had to say, brought that to date, and now we find our way into the text of David, chapter 16, verses 8 through 11 in the book of Psalms. We are going to begin reading today in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we're going to begin reading with verse 25 through verse 31 as Peter continues to bring to light the Word of God to the Jews that are listening on this day. And we know the results. And so please listen, Acts chapter 2, verse 25. Acts 2, 25. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of this patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you today for your precious word. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for the Sunday school classes. Thank you for the opportunity to proclaim your word and just search it and study it and teach it. And just, it's such a joy, Father. And so please continue to guide and lead us each and every day. Give us your strength and give us your wisdom, a wisdom that is given to only believers, only those that have come by faith to the Lord Jesus for salvation. And we pray, Father, as we proclaim your word this morning, that it be your words and take your spirit and touch every heart. And Father, if there be folks here that do not know you as their Lord and Savior, that today, please, would be the day that they would say yes and accept you as their Savior and believe. Please, Lord, deal with all of our hearts today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we move into verse 26, we found ourselves 2 weeks ago down to the last section of that verse. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. And so as we look at the previous statements in that verse, it says, therefore did my heart rejoice. Literally, our heart should rejoice every day when we go into the Word of God and enjoy the Word of God and His power and strength. And whether it is a time of trial and tribulation, a time of weeping, or a time of excitement and rejoicing, we should always say unto the Lord that I can have a joy in my heart and a smile. There is a section in the Gonda building, and we had an opportunity two or three times to be down in that area, and there's a couple of levels, but there is the same lady, dear lady, has played that piano, big grand piano, all the years I've been up there. Same lady, great big black rimmed glasses, and about 140 years old. She sits there and she plays that piano, and many times she plays some beautiful hymns. And as we were standing up on the balcony, it was much warmer up there than it was down where the piano was at. And you could see from there, as folks would come out of the tunnels And when they got to the place where they would begin to hear that music and that piano playing, they would go from a frown on their face to a smile. You could watch it time after time. There was a blind man came out, and as soon as he hit and got close enough, he began to sing the words. You could see his mouth moving. And they had him come over, and they have him sing 20 feet from us up on the balcony why this dear lady caught this doctor. And she pointed at him, and he says, "Okay, I'll sing one song." And so from the balcony, he sang the song. He would sing, and she would go like this, and, "All right, I'll do a second one." And so he'd do a second one, and then a third, and a third. "I'm gone. I've got appointments." And so he had, but doctors and different folks would stop by the piano, and again, many times it was hymns that you would sing. Other times it was good old traditional music that you've known for years. But that music brought a smile to their face. And so you think when they would come through and God knew when he told David would play his harp, he knew that it was bringing joy unto his soul and to others that would listen as they would come across there. So we need to learn during times of weeping and times of rejoicing, times of pain and sorrow or good times, that there should always be joy in our hearts. There should always be a smile on our face. Give us the strength that we need to endure that pain. And the Lord will do that. And we looked up 2 weeks ago a scripture verse back in Ezekiel. And I want to go back to that verse of scripture, because here's the reason that a believer, yes, those folks that would come out of that tunnel and begin to sing, some I'm sure were saved and some were not saved, but that music still brought a smile over whatever burden they had. But we have a reason for having a smile on our face. And if you look to Ezekiel 36, verse 26 and 27, and again, we read this 2 weeks ago, but I could not go further until we have renewed this, knowing this in our heart. Ezekiel 36, verse 26, "A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." We are promised the Spirit within you all the way back, almost 600 years before the birth of Christ. So 600 years before Peter stands up and proclaims this message, it was recorded back in Ezekiel what was going to take place on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit would come to live within their hearts. And so what a promise was given. And now we come to the next section of this 26th verse, the final section. "Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope." My flesh shall rest in hope. This flesh refers to the body. Again, we're in Acts chapter 2, the end of verse 26. It will refresh our body. You know, David and Peter both knew, and both was confirming, that the Lord Jesus was not going to see corruption. That the Lord Jesus was going to be raised on the third day. And he was not going to stay in that grave. And they were aware that because the Lord Jesus was going to be raised on the third day, they too, David and Peter both, would see a day of resurrection, of the raising of that body. And so what a wonderful statement that we have here. "Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope." And our flesh, our body will turn to dust. But we need to recognize that because the Lord Jesus did not see corruption and on the third day was raised from the dead, That is the promise and the confirmation given that our body will also be taken out of that grave if we have to face the grave. And even though it's completely deteriorated and completely gone, we will be made new. And there's going to be a glorious day of resurrection. That's a hope that each one of us have. And so where we're laid in that grave, I tell you, don't worry. Don't give it one thought of being in the ground, because as a believer, you will not be there. Your soul will be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. But your body will be raised from the dead. And what a wonderful day that will be. And so when we look at what David knew and what Peter was confirming concerning his Lord and Savior, we have in the 31st verse of this same chapter, Acts chapter 2, verse 31, "And seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." And what a promise. And Peter was proclaiming to them concerning what was going to happen back in Ezekiel, what David talked about in the Psalms, and now Peter was confirming that and bringing the Old Testament words to these Israelites, to these Jews, because that's something they knew. That's something that they understood. And so they needed, he was bringing Joel to them concerning the Spirit of God and what was going to take place. And then here he speaks of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Jesus raised from the dead on the third day. He was alive. He did not see corruption. And so when we look at these verses of Scripture, he is here to confirm that and to proclaim that. And again, the death of a Christian, as it's represented in the New Testament, speaks of us sleeping. Sleeping. We all enjoy our rest. We all enjoy our sleep. And we enjoy it all the more when we can't sleep for some reason. And we would love to be able to rest and to sleep and to get our body re-energized again. And we find that the death of a Christian is referred to as sleep. And we're going to look up a couple of verses of Scripture. One is not far off. It's in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, the 60th verse of that chapter. That will be in the final. We find here that the proclamation here, and we're going to enjoy that as here in the future. The message that Peter gave is tremendous, but the message that Stephen gave is just as exciting, and we're going to look forward to it when we get to the seventh chapter. But we find at the end of that seventh chapter, as Stephen was being stoned, and I'll just begin with the verse 57 to kind of lead up to it. "Then they cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears, and they ran unto him with one accord." This is when Stephen was preaching the truth. "And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul." So we begin the walk with Saul and on to be Paul here soon. And then in verse 59, "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." And that's what we got to look forward to as believers. If we do have to face the grave, it's just going to be falling asleep, because we're going to be immediately in the hands of our Lord and Savior. And let's turn now to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 6. 2 Corinthians 15, 6. "After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." Fallen asleep. That's what death is going to be. Huh? Did I say First, do what I mean, not what I say. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6. It's one thing that they did not correct, and that's my dyslexia, because a while ago I looked at the hymn number that we were to sing, and that wasn't the one I'd picked out, and I'd transposed the last two numbers. And so, First Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 6. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. In other words, they were still alive to be a witness, a testimony. But some are fallen asleep. Some are fallen asleep. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to go to the 13th verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Sleep. That's all it's going to be, my friend. You know Jesus as your Savior. When we leave this life and go on to the next to be with our Lord, it's going to be just like we're falling asleep. That's all it is. And so please, have comfort in those words. And so now, as we're back to Acts chapter 2, the end of verse 26, moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. The flesh, the body, is definitely separated from the spirit, from the soul. When a believer dies, the body goes back to the dust. But our soul, our precious soul, returns and goes back to the one that gave it, the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus was resurrected, the body will rest, will sleep in the grave, in hope, in promise, until the day that Jesus comes to get us, which is the rapture of the church. And so let's look at those verses of Scripture. And so if you kept your fingers in Corinthians and in Thessalonians, you won't have to find it again. If you didn't, like I didn't, why, go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with that 13th verse that we just read. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Not all of us will sleep. 1 John. Chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. What wonderful verses of Scripture concerning the hope that we have if we do face the grave. Because, and for we know, as verse 53 of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, you don't need to turn back there, but it says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. What a joy it's going to be the day that we meet Jesus. Whether we are alive and remain, as the Scripture says, or we do have to face the grave and we just go to sleep and we'll wake up in the arms of Jesus. And there'll be a day that our body will join. And that's what Peter is talking about here with these Jews as he tells them concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus is the most important, because Jesus was raised from the dead, and when he was raised from the dead, that finished, that completed everything. So we not only have a forgiveness of sins, but we have life, because he was risen from the dead. And our sins would not be forgiven if he had not risen from the dead, as the Scripture tells us. And so he has risen from the dead. It gives us life, and it also is a promise of our hope that we also will be risen from the grave, and we will not all have to stay in the grave. So as we look at that verse, and now we move on to verse 27, and we will enjoy this verse, and then we'll close with that, and we'll begin with the full of joy and countenance, as the verse 29 has us. But we look at verse 27, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. This word hell is Hades. And Hades is a region or an area in the center of the earth where the departed spirits go. And as before the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection, all believers went to a place and all the lost went to a place. And there is a great gulf fixed between. And we're going to look to the chapter back to Luke, and we're going to read that today, and we'll probably close with that, and then we'll begin with that section next week. And so let's go to Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 31. And I would like for you, I'm going to read it, and then I want you to read it this week, and we'll begin there next week with this section of Scripture. Luke 16, 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his fingers in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Without question, if that rich man could come and stand before his brothers, he would tell them, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He didn't desire that he have company, as some say. Some say, oh, there'll be a lot of company. I'll have a lot of friends down there. They'll be there, but they won't be your friends. You're going to be in torment. And so we will begin there. We will read those verses of Scripture next week. And that's where we'll start. And we're going to visit about that great gulf fixed between. And then we're going to talk even about what took place with that great, great gulf fixed between after the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. It's so important that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. It's so important that as we look at this 27th verse, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. It's so important that you understand that. That you know that that means our Lord Jesus Christ was risen from the dead and did not see corruption. His glory, his body as he came out of that tomb, he had his glorified body. And what a picture we have, what we'll receive the day that he raises up us out of that ground, or he comes to get us and raptures us as we stand. Either way, we can praise and honor our Lord. But please, don't fear death. Death will be a graduation time, and it'll just be a matter that you're going to fall asleep and you'll wake up in the arms of Jesus. What a glorious day that will be, the day we get to meet Jesus face to face. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy these verses of Scripture, comfort our hearts with them, bring joy into our hearts. And we can have that joy because we look at the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But as we look at the death and his the pain and suffering, and then he was buried. But then we can look at the joy of the resurrection, and that's where we're coming to. So please, just touch all of our hearts with the words that have been spoken. Show us the way of salvation if we do not know how to be saved. You died on the cross to save us, took our sins away, came to this earth. You came and put on the body of a man, walked a perfect life. God-man, only way that you could save us. Died, took all of our sins away. All we need to do is believe. Thank you, Father. Speak to all of our hearts now and have us a heart of joy and rejoicing, please, each and every day as believers. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.